You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 18th, 2019. One of our U.S. Navy ships, the USS Boxer, is in the Strait of Hormuz in international waters. A drone is approaching. Message sent to the drone and those controlling it: turn away, stand down. Repeatedly we said, stand down. The drone continued to come closer and closer. They don't know if it's armed or not. It got within 1,000 yards, and we blew it out of the sky. Good. And the president says we'll do it again if Iran wants to try to mess with us, and encouraging other nations to look for protection for your ships, and we'll do what we can. Iran, by the way, the foreign minister is now coming forward and saying, look, we had no choice. We had to build missiles for our defense. We had no choice. And in the process, he's almost suggesting that we're willing to talk about reopening some negotiations and ease the sanctions, you think? At the same time, the Iranian state media coming out with a story suggesting that this nation deliberately planted some ticks in Iran, weaponized ticks to spread Lyme disease. Where would they get that idea? Well, there is an article, is U.S. weaponizing of ticks behind Lyme disease spread? And they tie it to a 2020 defense authorization bill demanding the Pentagon Inspector General investigate if any such experiments were carried out between 1950 and 75. Here's something for you to consider. A new research report on legal immigration. Legal immigration. The Pew Research Group found that the majority of Republican voters fear that the mass immigration policy we have of currently allowing 1.5 million foreign nationals in each year is putting our nation at risk. And, of course, I'm sure they're thinking not just what's coming in legal, but because of all the illegals that are coming in. They are believing that we're losing our identity as a nation if we become too open to people from all over the world. I know there's going to be pushback and noise over that. Well, we were founded on immigration, legal immigration. That's true. But yeah, maybe we need to consider, should we curtail the numbers or go with the merit system program as Canada does? Canada's decided we can't take any more legals, so they start putting restrictions on. Another survey regarding the Democrat congresswomen known as the Squad and how they match up against ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. An Economist YouGov survey found that when it came to American adults, more of them, 42%, are in favor of the ICE agency compared to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez getting only 25%. Omar got 25%. Ocasio got 33%. Tlaib, 24%. Presley, 22%. But most favor our ICE agency over those four progressives. Columbia University has a new program offering a stress management support group for illegal aliens attending at school. They say, we know you're stressed out trying to do your grades and you're here illegally. You're stressed out, so we're going to do something to make things better for you. We're going to come up with a stress management support group for you. Isn't that hunky-dory? And, of course, they also want to help other people. In fact, they recently had a phrase on the school stating, God hates guns, loves gay porn. And they want to make those people feel welcome, too. There's a new study of 22,484 pornography sites. Who knew there were that many? 22,484 pornography sites? A study of those sites found that in 93% of the cases, information was being fed back to firms such as Facebook and Google, tracking who's watching porn, how long, who they are. Now, what's going to be done with it? Could it be that suddenly at your office, someone is going to get a message that, hey, did you know Bob is watching porn X number hours? Or your spouse? Or your parent? Your answer is, I was looking at corn. It came up. I don't know.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Remember the scare we had a few years ago over Ebola, an outbreak going around the world? The World Health Organization now declaring another Ebola outbreak currently undergoing in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and they're calling it a public health emergency of international concern. They're trying to document anyone who's been there, been back out, or some of those who went somewhere else to see someone. Hear this, for the second time in less than a week, a Russian nuclear power plant had to be taken offline after a malfunction, at least taken partially offline. This nuclear power plant, 200 miles to the north of Moscow, a transformer short-circuited, so they shut down three of the four generators. According to the official statement from Russia, the radiation level at the station and surrounding territory remain without change and is in line with normal background levels. That's the official state line. And, of course, recently there's been a HBO series on Chernobyl, that disaster that happened in Russia, the 1986 disaster with a nuclear plant. Take note of this, because some of these nuclear power plants in Russia are running far beyond the obsolescence dates originally planned in original documents. For example, one was supposed to be obsolete 4 years ago. I'm sure the kids in China, the Chinese kids, this is great. We're going to get a smartwatch. We're getting a smartwatch. The Chinese government launching a program to give in one particular area elementary school children smartwatches. They're handing out 17,000 of them. Isn't that great? Why would they do that? Just be generous? Or is it because there's a GPS tracking system included so the child's location could be documented within 30 feet at all times? Update on Levi Strauss. Levi Strauss, of course, had decided to join Michael Bloomberg and his Gun Control Every Town for Gun Safety back in the fall of 2018 and said, we will join with them to fight against guns and call for more gun control, whether or not customers agree. Well, since that time, I'm sure they've lost some customers. But Levi Strauss reasserting now that we are going to continue to stick with gun control. Now, I'm thinking about all the other manufacturers of blue jeans other than Levi's. India Space Agency announcing it will launch a spacecraft to the south pole of the moon next week. It was supposed to take place earlier, but they had to call it off. And now they're going to send this thing to the lunar south pole with a rover exploring water deposits. Somebody is a very good writer of public relations for India on this thing. Listen to what they're saying it's going to do. This is right out of Mission Impossible. It says the mission will, quote, boldly go where no country has ever gone before. We've been to the moon and walked on the moon from the U.S., but yeah, we didn't go to the South Pole, so okay. So a federal judge in D.C., or New York rather, decided, Jeffrey Epstein, you want to be free on bail? You're willing to go free on bail on $700 million bond? Epstein, of course, accused of sexually abusing dozens of underage girls in New York and Florida and elsewhere back into the early 2000s. Well, the U.S. district judge said that $700 million bail you're willing to pay, you can stuff it. We're not going to let you out. You're going to stay in jail. Good. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting twist to this story. We know, of course, Bill Clinton and Donald Trump at one time flew on one of the planes Epstein had, but Clinton was on there numerous times, according to flight logs, sometimes after he was president, and he would ditch his security detail. And all of that had begun to come out, flight logs showing Bill Clinton on board, no security detail, and woman one, woman two, woman three. And you know who was closely following what was going on those stories? Well, the hacked emails of Hillary Clinton's campaign staff and their chief presidential campaign advisor, John Podesta, showed numerous emails where Hillary Clinton is concerned, wanting to know, what about Bill and Epstein and all these girls? What about it? What's going on with it? One email came out and said, plenty of innuendo, but no hard evidence. That's their statement, not mine. No hard evidence of new Clinton sex scandal. But Hillary Clinton was very interested in what Bill was doing. And nothing like a woman scorned, right? Which brings us to a former New York City employee. I say former. She was with the Human Resources Department in New York City. She was supposed to distribute money to help needy New Yorkers. Well, this 36-year-old decided, I'm needy. So she began to take some of that money. And she gave some to some friends and family, figured they're also needy. I'll give them some. She stole something like $300,000, and most of it went to a voodoo artist, a supernatural specialist. She wanted to put a hex on her boyfriend, admitting that she spent hundreds of thousands to get a voodoo hex on her ex-boyfriend. Hell no, hath no fury like a woman scorned.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA on 590 The Fan. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, let's talk about this face app. This viral face app that many of you might have been using. There's some issues you need to know about it. We're going to get into that. We're also going to get into the NASA moon landing that would be taking place 2 days from now, 50 years ago. And at this point, the Apollo 11 crew was nearing the moon, preparing for that touchdown and walk 2 days from now. And we'll tell you how some women sewing girdles had an interesting part in the Apollo 11 mission and some other things you might not know about it. And I'm also going to tell you about a ruling from the Berkeley City Council. You think those folks out there aren't going wacko? This will prove it. But back to this story about this face app. Have you used it? Have you used it? Do you know some friends who've used it? Take a picture of yourself and you then wait and it ages you 20 years. Maybe it takes some hair off. Maybe it has some hair growing out of your nose or your ears you don't have now. Maybe you lose your hair. Maybe you look older, wrinkled. Maybe not so much. It's supposedly going to give you a look at what you would appear to be 20, 25, 30 years down the road. Folks have been having a lot of fun with it. This is owned by a Russian company. This popular mobile app owned by a Russian company allowing you to add visual effects to your face to alter your facial expressions, your look, and your appearance of age. So far, according to Forbes, 150 million have used it. Here's something you might not know. This being downloaded via Google Play on the Android platform and other places, Apple's iOS, been around since 2017, and just now some of this information is coming out. When you take a picture with this thing, terms of service, you grant FaceApp a perpetual, irrevocable, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid, transferable, sub-licensable license to use, reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, translate, create derivative works from, distribute, publicly perform, and display your user content and any name, username, or likeness provided in connection with your user content in all media formats and channels now known or later developed without compensation to you. When you post or otherwise share user content on or through apps, these services, you understand that your user content and any associated information, such as your username, location, or profile photo, will be visible to the public. Wow. In other words, you take a picture on this thing, they can use it any way they want to any time based on what we have now or the future. The group called Wired is advising readers to be very vigilant about protecting their data in all circumstances. It's tough nowadays. I know that. Anything, if you do anything on Facebook or Snapchat or Twitter or anything like that, yeah, it's, we don't have the privacy anymore. If you're going to use anything like that, that's why some folks say, I will never do that. Kind of like when you're younger, say, I will never curse. Damn it, I won't. Oh, I did. Eventually, folks get pulled in one way or the other. But FaceApp apparently performs most of the photo processing in the cloud. And then it's available anywhere and everywhere. You talk about Russian collusion? Now, they say that the R&D team is in Russia, but the data is not transferred to Russia. That's what they say. There was an incident on a Delta airliner the other day, and it's going to raise a whole brand new concern for flight passengers, particularly if they're going to be indulging in illicit drugs on board the plane. Apparently, one of the passengers went to the restroom and found a man passed out with a needle in his arm. Notified the crew immediately, and they began to call for an emergency landing. They had departed on 2531, departing Boston for L.A. And then they realized we got a dead passenger on board. needle in the arm. They landed. Paramedics took another 10 minutes to arrive at the plane. They ended up carrying him out in a body bag. Now, here's the issue. Some are saying, why did Delta not have Narcan on board? Narcan is that nasal spray. That's the brand name used to counter any opioid overdoses. There are billboards up around now that say basically if you have one of those and use it immediately if you see someone in distress. Police departments carry it. I don't know if every officer now carries it, but EMTs carry it. And on planes, you've got defibrillators and you've got other stuff, but no Narcan? Now, of course, on one hand, you'd say, look, it's the passenger wants to do that, so be it. I mean, that's they're being the idiot. But the airlines have to realize we could be held responsible if we're not doing everything we can to take care of the passengers. So the Atlanta-based airline, Delta, says it's going to start adding Narcan to all emergency medical kits this fall. I don't know why it takes that long, but that's what they're saying. And other airlines are watching what's happening and realizing, you know what? We're probably going to have to do the same thing. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about our moon landing, which would happen 50 years ago plus 2 days, coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA on 590 The Fan.
They say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So it was 50 years ago, July 20th, that Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. And at this point, 50 years ago, Apollo 11 was approaching the moon. And of course, when Neil stepped on, he said it was one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And technically, he was saying one small step for a man, but it kind of got lost in the transmission. Now, we had a story on last night that now NASA is saying, since President Trump wants us to go to Mars, that's our next mission. We're going to see to it that it happens. As JFK said, I want to get us to the moon. And they were talking about going back to the moon first, establishing a command center and learning how to live on a constant basis on a planet and use that as a launch pad for Mars. Makes sense, but Michael Collins, who was the Columbia command module for Apollo 11, disagrees with going back to the moon. He said we should go right for Mars. That's what he's saying. And said he had also advocated naming a future Mars mission after President JFK, who vowed in 61 that we would land a man on the moon by the end of that decade. But he says we should shoot directly for Mars. 12 men have walked on the moon, all Americans. That's pretty impressive, don't you think? I had a story earlier that India is going to land a moon rover on the moon sometime next week. Talking about it's going to go boldly where no man has gone before. It's going to the south part of the moon, which no one has been to. So that's true, but it just doesn't seem to be that big of a deal, does it, compared to what we've done? And of course, we got into that at the time in the 60s because of the Cold War, and Russia had Sputnik, and the president decided we need to do something and do it soon. And of course, after they had landed, and Aldrin got out following Neil Armstrong, planting the lunar flag. Aldrin remembered saying, of all the jobs I had to do on the moon, the one I wanted to go the smoothest was the flag raising. But they had trouble with the telescoping rod, could only jam it in just a couple of inches into the hard lunar surface. They were afraid it was going to topple, but it held as he backed up and gave a West Point salute. And then President Nixon talked to them. He had a long speech prepared to read during the phone call, but Frank Borman at the White House, as NASA liaison, convinced Nixon just keep the words brief. Imagine telling the president, don't talk a lot. I don't know if he told him, look, they don't have a lot of oxygen. I don't know what he said. But Nixon basically said, I'm talking to the phone by the Oval Office at the White House. This is the most historic telephone call ever made. I'm proud of you and every American. It's the proudest day of our life. It inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility on the Moon. You're in our prayers as you return safely to Earth. Armstrong replied, thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor, a privilege for us to be here, representing not only the United States, but men of peace of all nations and with interest and curiosity, men with a vision for the future. Nixon's speechwriter had prepared another speech that might have to be read by Nixon, titled, An Event of Moon Disaster. In the event, the Apollo 11 astronauts were stranded on the moon, could not get back in, could not get off the moon. That contingency plan came from a memo to Nixon's White House Chief of Staff at the time, H.R. Alderman, in which the speechwriter suggested a protocol the administration might follow in reaction to such a disaster. According to the plan, Mission Control would close down communications, and a clergyman would, quote, commend their souls to the deepest of the deep. Basically, words of a public ritual likened to a burial at sea. The last line of that prepared text, an allusion to Rupert Brooke's first World War poem, The Soldier. The astronauts on the moon and going back up to meet the module certainly were aware of the risk when they left. They were aware of the risk at every step and every point, and when it came to leaving the moon. And while moving inside the cabin, Aldrin accidentally damaged a circuit breaker. They would arm the main engine for liftoff from the moon, and there was concern that's going to prevent the engine from firing. That would strand them on the moon. But you know what? They ended up fixing it. You know how they ended up fixing it? This is the way they did things then. What they did was they took a felt tip pen and were able to activate the switch. They do say that, look, if that hadn't worked, we would have reconfigured something else to fire the engine. They had to be ready for anything and everything. You can do all you want here preparing for it. You plan for A, B, C, and you better have a D, E, and F plan. I mean, you're going to the moon. Are you going to come back? And you look at the moon now. I did just the other day. I mean, it's so beautiful up there in the sky, and it's just, you think, if you stop and think about it, man has walked on that moon. 12 men, actually. All Americans. We sent them there, and we brought them safely back. Has the space program had disasters? Yes. Do we give it all up and abandon it because of those disasters? We haven't. What has been the stalling point is the dollar. I have not seen anybody put numbers to what we gained out of the Apollo mission and those space missions, which have followed us, to what we've learned and what it's done to change our lives for the better, not only for the people of this country, but around the world when it comes to medicine, science, communication, providing food for those who would not have it otherwise. I mean, I don't know how you begin to put a number on that. I'm not that smart, and I haven't seen anyone else come up with that. I'm sure there is a number. But look around you. Look at the things you have in your home right now. Look at the fact of you're listening to this program. On one hand, it's just good old basic radio that we've had prior to Pearl Harbor. But on the other hand, you're sitting in an environment at your house, your car, with things and gadgets and so forth that few could dream of because they didn't have that kind of vision. But using the success of our space plan and the knowledge from our space plan, we've created this brand new world. And of course, when it comes to space programs and shuttle programs and so forth, all the glory goes to the astronauts, men or women, and rightly so to some extent, because they are the ones that are on the top of that rocket when it goes off. They're the ones. They're taking the risk. But so many thousands more are behind them, making it work, putting it together, checking, triple checking, double triple checking to make sure everything's going to work. Because they don't want to lose an astronaut on their watch. And there's something else about Apollo 11 maybe you had not heard before. A group of women who were one day working on sewing girdles. Girdles. Seamstresses at Playtex. Manufacturing girdles for the women of America. And then one day, somebody from NASA came in and said, we need your best seamstress, and we've got a project for them. So they walked away from their machines where they were sewing girdles and in some case baby pants. As one of them later said with CBS News, they didn't tell me anything. They just brought me upstairs and told me what they wanted. And she said, I went home many a night, cried because I knew I couldn't do it. I was scared. There was a person's life depending on what I did. She was one of four that put together the suits. So when you see Neil Armstrong step out and jump down to the moon's surface, that was their work to design a suit that would be flexible and protective. It was a 21-layer suit, completely constructed by hand. Each seam, each stitch, carefully measured. Because they did not want to have another catastrophe as they had with Apollo 1 and that inferno that killed three astronauts. But in this case, it was to be tested on the moon. I mean, that was the ultimate test. They could do what they want here, but it was only going to work on the moon or it wasn't. One of the women said, we would have astronauts come in and thank us, and that was a real boost, but made a connection you wouldn't forget, but still we're so fearful. Are we going to put these men in jeopardy? And then came July 20th, 1969. And one of the women said, once they started down the ladder and Armstrong put his foot on the moon, that was the pinnacle of watching something you've helped do. But they weren't overly excited at that point. She said, I wonder, is it going to hold? Is it going to be airtight? I hope that stitch doesn't pop. No, the ladies did a perfect job protecting our astronauts. We'll take a break when we come back. The crazies at Berkeley City Council. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So there's a politician that was pushing for gender-neutral toilets. This is in England. But it makes no difference. It's the same kind of attitude, as far as I'm concerned, that we've seen in this country. Making gender-neutral toilets. We talked about this repeatedly. Kids go in there, young girls, a guy goes in, say, well, it's all gender-neutral. I can go in there, too. Or I can say that today I'm feeling my feminine side, and I'm going to go in. But there's a little girl in there. I don't care. I can go in. So this politician that pushed for the introduction of gender-neutral toilets, now charged with 9 counts of sexually touching a child. He says, I didn't do anything. Maybe he didn't. And I don't know if a child was inside any of the toilets when he went in there or not, but it raises questions. And you get all this free, liberal, nonsense thinking in this country, especially from the left coast, the West Coast. Oh, it exists elsewhere. It exists even in my home state of Texas and the city of my birth, Austin, turning so blue I wouldn't recognize it. The University of Texas infiltrated with liberals. And it's in D.C., and it's in Chicago, and it's San Francisco, and it's all over. And here's something else you see as a result of all this politically correct, leftist-leaning, liberal push. The City Council of Berkeley, California, just voted to remove gendered language from city codes. That's right. They're taking all gendered language out of the city codes. The rationale? Well, they say, well, we want to amend the municipal code to include gender-neutral pronouns by eliminating any gender preference language within the municipal code. Will promote equality and will also mess up a lot of people. What are they doing? Well, there won't be police man anymore, nor police woman. Be police person. And other changes, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, they're looking at other things if it appears at all in somewhere of the code that they're going to change. I mean, manpower would be changed to human effort. Sorority or fraternity would be changed to collegiate Greek system residences. And they would get rid of gendered words in existing codes where they use the words he, she, him, her, himself, herself. for specific nouns such as the architect, the attorney, the council member, the idiot, the clerk. Oh, I'm sorry. I added the idiot, but I think you can. It'll probably be used anyway. The clerk, the driver, and more. Brother would become sibling. Heirs would be beneficiaries. I don't understand. That's no gender difference there. Heirs or beneficiaries. Journeyman would just be journey. That's right. Master would change to captain. Or maybe skipper or pilot. Safety officer. Pregnant? They're going to change that to pregnant employees. I don't see any sense on some of these, but I don't see any sense in half of it. And then this is the one that just really, this, you shake your head and say, you cannot be serious, but they are. They are going to have around their city maintenance holes. Maintenance holes. Or you might normally in other cities and other times refer to a maintenance hole as a manhole. But you can't call it a manhole anymore. It's going to be a maintenance hole, which means it will have to have a maintenance hole cover, not a manhole cover. You got it? If you go to Berkeley, just get with it. Just get in line, understand it, and accept it, because that's the way it's going to be. And, of course, they'll be teaching it in our nation's institutions of higher learning at Berkeley and elsewhere. And won't we all be better for it? Just a moment ago, I was talking about what a great thing this nation did, putting man on the moon, not once, but 12 different times, and what we've achieved with it. And look what we do with this kind of, somebody has enough time to sit around and think about that kind of crap. Neil Armstrong, by the way, never really liked all the attention that came with being the first man on the moon. He just tried to live a normal life. Didn't try to capitalize on it. He was a golfer, by the way. They say he had a respectable 16 handicap. And he's playing on a Jack Nicklaus course, Muirfield Village, in suburban Columbus, Ohio. And he's playing a legendary NFL coach, Paul Brown. And Neil Armstrong tops his tee shot, dribbles into a large fairway bunker. He goes over, takes another whack at it. It travels another 5 yards. He hit it again and again and again before he managed to reach the fairway. One of his playing partners had seen enough and said to make sure he'd be heard, that would be NFL coach Paul Brown, "Is this the guy who went to the moon?" Neil Armstrong, good sport that he was, I say, he just laughed, as did another member of the foursome, former LPGA commissioner, Charlie Meacham. And when the levity died down, Armstrong did not pick up his ball. He continued to whack at it until he got it to the green. Meacham later said, "Neil would never, ever pick up a ball, no matter if he's lying 20. He was going to finish the job. That's the kind of person he was. He was not going to pick up that ball. He was going to play the hole out." "What'd you get, Neil?" 25. "Okay." He did have a 16 handicap. We got it because he was pretty good, but there are holes that most players know, they suddenly are blow-up holes. And he had one this time with legendary NFL coach Paul Brown. And others gathered around. He wasn't the least bit embarrassed. He was just doing what he had to. Kept his head down and kept swinging. "Is this the guy who went to the moon?" Yes, it is. But right now, he's a poor golfer.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.